Welcome to Hanging with the Masters. In this show, Sheila Applegate channels the Masters. They answer questions, and you decide how it impacts you. I'm Zach Hansen, here with Sheila Applegate, and we are the founders of Consciously Awesome, your portal to living in higher consciousness. Hi, Sheila.
Hey, Zach.
What's going on today?
Well, we're here in a very sunny and rainy central New York, because we like to do it all, and excited to interview our next master.
And who might that be?
We are going to talk with Steve Zero, and he is a healer that I met after he died.
Oh, that's a very interesting story. Now, What makes Steve interesting, and who was he? Can you give us a little bit of a backstory behind Steve?
So Steve was a healer and a teacher, and he had the Holistic Life Center in Washburn, Missouri. I knew nothing of this. And several years ago, he crossed to the spirit world, and he had many people who he had taught and who had been missing him, and he chose me to be his voice, so we've sort of teamed up over the years, and he asked if he could be next, so we said yes.
Excellent. Do you get a lot of those requests?
there is a uniqueness in this and how close to his death he chose to work with me, and how vast his impact of people that were looking to continue to connect with him and learn. But there's an element of people choosing to work with me after they've crossed over. It certainly has happened in other ways. There was once someone who was actually murdered, and she knew of me through someone else when she was alive, though I didn't know her, and she contacted me on the night up, like in her crossing. So when I found out about that murder, I actually had already spoken with her, though I didn't know who she was when she showed up until the person came to me and said that their friend had been murdered. So there's some interesting situations like that.
Yeah, we need to talk.
Right. I don't know how they get my number over there, but maybe Steve will tell us.
Yeah, maybe he will. Steve's kind of interesting, as I've got to know him very little over the last couple years. What sticks out to me the most, too, is you and I were actually at an outing looking for a place to do some a workshop or a retreat, and we met the person there who has kind of brought us in and is like, hey, take a look at this. And so we started looking at the center and everything, but then we started having a deeper conversation towards the end. And she brought up all this stuff, like, and it was just like synchronistic how it ended up on, she was talking about this guy that came to her just out of the blue, right? And she just knew things and she knew his name and that's it. And we started dialoguing about all of this. And that's when you connected the dots for her, too.
Right. So I completely forgot about that. Yeah, so she talked about a spirit guide that she had a vision of whose name was Steve. But she described him all and then said Steve. And I'm like, oh, I know Steve.
Right.
And she had no concept. Yeah, so that's...
That's his style, I think.
I think
like,
so.
Just like, hey, I'm your guide. All right. That's all you need to know. Yeah, awesome. So he... you said he founded the Holistic Life Center?
Yes, in Washburn, Missouri. He did a lot of other work. I actually really haven't delved into his earth history. I got to know it as he spoke to his people, mm-hmm. you know, the people that knew him and cared about him. And some of them have shared some stories over the years, but really not that much. I know Steve and I know Steve much more now than who he was then.
All right. What do you say we dig in and see what Steve wants to say?
It sounds like a good idea.
All right.
What would Steve say?
What would Steve say?
Just give me a moment to tune in and to merge my consciousness with the vibration that he identifies. So in doing this process, I first just shift my attention to feel my own alignment Then I see a vision of Steve as I know him, as he's come to me over the years. And actually, at this point, I'm seeing him kind of in front of me right now, waving to me. So that's kind of fun. And now we'll just take a moment to blend our energies so that he can use my voice as a vessel translator so that you can speak with me.
Steve, welcome to Hanging with the Masters.
Hey, Zach. Good to be here.
All right, that's good. You are a very interesting character.
I've heard that before.
I'm sure you have. And I know you had a following here in your previous life, and we would really like to know a little bit more about that and your impact on Earth and your people when you were here.
Well, I have to say, I'm not sure I would call it a following. That sounds a little cultish, but I did have a lot of people that I loved and that liked to be in my presence and that liked to hear what I had to say when I rambled.
So are you saying there's something wrong with cults?
No. Just want to be clear. You know, Sheila's daughter likes to joke about that, and I just wanted to throw that one out for her. Tell her I hear. We all have fun. That's the thing. We have to have fun in life, right? And we all take life pretty serious, and I think right now on Earth, I'm noticing a lot of serious energy, and I think it's fun. I think it's good that you chose to do this show or at least play around here and see if we can do this together, because we need to lighten this up. And sometimes I was pretty serious and sometimes I had a lot of fun, and I want to do both today.
I want to do both today. Can you tell us, so in the time period that you were around, you created a holistic life center. Was that a progressive thing that you did when you were here, or was it kind of commonplace?
Oh, was I? Yeah, that was not me. Not as it is today. We ate like hippies. We were the first juicers. You know, now we would just be one in a million. But back in the day. Not that it was that long ago, but when I started out with my way of thinking, I was not normal. It's interesting. We had a phase. I lived an interesting life in that we look at patterns, and there was a wave of opening. People, think of the hippies era and the social revolution, and there was a wave of consciousness of opening, but it wasn't, didn't take root yet. And so then life kind of went back to more conservative. So if you continued on that path in a way, maybe you were considered a little out there, and I was considered a little out there at times, but I thought I was.
I think normal is definitely a relative term, because I feel the same way, and in my experience of myself and having consciousness unfold within me, and I mean that's the experience of higher consciousness unfolding is, we could sit here for years probably and talk about all of this because it's just a process, right? But to me as well, in my own internal journey, I feel like these seeds have been planted, and sometimes they kind of just sprout out of the ground and they don't really take form into like a full tree, for example. And there's still, in my experience, waves of this or seasons of planting these seeds and letting them grow, as I know that underneath there's a plant that's going to grow and it's going to blossom into something grand as far as consciousness goes. The illumination of my own consciousness. So it seems to me that humanity is still in this pattern of sorts where things aren't quite sticking just yet, but they keep growing. They keep trying. Those plants keep growing until they're going to stick and hold. Do you have any comments about that?
Other plants? I'm just teasing you. I agree. We are moving, and I continue to grow and learn and explore. We have to keep growing, and I think that's one of the things that slows humanity down. And actually, Sheila taught me some of this after I died. You think that she's bringing in a master and that she is just leaving and then I get to keep influencing people. But that's not the case. My gratitude for her and the teachings that I have come to understand, because I was limited too. And here we get to be more. When you let go of your body, you're everything that she teaches. And in the way she teaches that we're always all of this, from the cells of our body all the way up to the vastness of all that is. She likes to talk about that. And so death is just no longer being attached to the cells of the body. Everything else is left and continues to grow. And so concepts continue to grow. And it's interesting that humanity likes to, well, what did we say? Pick and dry the flowers, if we keep your analogy. So it may be growing, and if it continued to grow, the flower would go through a cycle and then blow seeds, and more flowers would continue to grow. But somebody sees that flower and they think that that's the most beautiful, brilliant flower around, and it holds memories to them for some reason. So they want to cut it, and then they're watching it in the flower vase and it's starting to wilter, and so they don't want to let go of that. They want that memory of what it was, so they press it between two books, and now they've got this dried up brown flower, and it brings back beautiful memories for something that happened in that moment, but it didn't get to grow, and now it's held to the past. And I think that the gift that I had with working with Sheila in this way is that I may have regretted. It's interesting. People don't realize we come, we teach, we give ourselves over to everything that we have in our insight and our knowledge. And then the way we traditionally do this is that we die. And now people take those lessons that we've left behind and we say that's our legacy. And so we try to get as much in as we can in a lifetime. But now I got to the other side, if we call it that, and I had even more understanding, and I knew what needed to get. I was clearer, and I'd left all these lessons, and I thought, what have I done? Like, if I can't give them more and teach them more and keep going, what if they stop there? And it made me sad. And through the open communication and this relationship we've got here, I got to keep learning and growing and teaching, and so did all the people I love and cared for, and more, because not really restricted by time and space anymore, so that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. So you mentioned kind of holding a memory in place, right? Even though life just always continues to move from scene to scene. And as a human being in our three dimensions and our current construct of being, we do kind of keep ourselves locked in place, even though the natural world around us and our experience, if we sit back, it goes and it changes constantly. The scenes are always changing, moving and growing. And so we do need to grow. And so I have a really interesting question, and you've hit on this already, but you said that you were able to grow and that you were able to understand the message, the teachings that you brought originally. What is it like to grow on the other side of physicality?
Frustrating.
Oh.
Well, it's frustrating sometimes, and then it's not, because we're really not as attached. I say that because I'm here in this vessel now, and I get to experience emotions. We don't really experience emotions in the same way without a body. That's one of the cool things about being able to pop into a body. But when I say frustrating, I mean, because now I have new insights, and I want, let's say, if someone didn't call Sheila and get to talk to me, or she didn't take this on, or somebody didn't help me communicate, and I hadn't done a good enough job of teaching people to keep talking to me after. This happens with a lot of people that, you know, loved ones die, and because the world doesn't think you should keep talking to them and that they should keep growing, now they were maybe misinterpreted, and people are like doing things in their life based on information that's old or misinterpreted. And it's like you're behind a glass wall, like banging on it, saying, wait, listen to me, listen, I got new information, and they don't want to hear you. And that part is frustrating. And I would probably say every single soul that has died has felt that frustration, if we feel frustration. And I say if we do, because we do and we don't, and it's hard to explain in the humanness, but here right now, feel it totally. I'm feeling it for all of them. But the beautiful thing is, when people, and this isn't just because of Sheila, the people, many people sought her out to compete, to talk to me, but they had to keep talking to me themselves. And that's one of the things she kept stressing, but many of them did it on their own too. So they kept learning and they kept growing, and they didn't hold me to what I knew back then. So for example, I told you I was a juicer. I was very into a clean diet. And I think that that is really important. And it is. But I might have been a little militant on some of the things that I was holding to, because at that time, I was one of the new people. People didn't understand this, didn't think about it. So I felt like I had to push it and push it and push it. And I saw pharmaceuticals coming up, and I knew something, I could feel it, you know. I was different. Like I was communicating with spirit. I was bringing in, I had foresight of what was to come, prophecy. And so I saw where we were headed with the pharmaceuticals and where we headed in my life. I didn't die all that long ago, maybe. I don't know. How long ago did I die? 10, 15 years? It's all kind of different here.
It's 2017 right now.
And so what I'm saying is I pushed to get a point across, and, Sheila likes a pendulum theory, that when we see something, we go extreme to the other side, then we settle into the center. I probably went a little extreme on some things. So I was very against medicines, and I didn't understand that we could go beyond that. And so this idea of alternative, not alternative, what do you call it?
Holistic,
integrated medicine, where we don't go to one extreme or the other, but we use both modern medicine and traditional medicines to come together. That isn't something I really embrace. So maybe I left a few people not getting the treatment that they could get. Because I do believe in natural medicine for sure, but humans have grown. Everything is a part of consciousness, and so everything is good. And then also learning that we can shift vibrations, which I knew, but maybe now understand more. So if we want to touch, you know, have them, if we need a medicine, that we need to raise the vibration to match our body. I did do some of this. I'm just saying, I became a little more open-minded.
After you transitioned to the other side, you became more open-minded?
Yeah, what I'd like to say after I left my body behind, because I was already on the other side when I was there.
All right.
So let's just say after I let go of the body, which was like an anchor, and everything was being filtered through a mind that had a certain level of consciousness. And so I probably would have kept growing if I was alive, too. I think I would have gotten there.
So is the growth without a body different than with a body?
Oh, yeah. Everything's different and nothing's different. From the human, you perceive it as everything's different because you, as humans, most humans, and even someone like myself or Sheila, who do spend a lot of our attention in the higher frequencies or dimensions, still holding a human body keeps you very, you can have major concepts, but they filter through. It's like it's being put through a funnel. And so you can have a huge amount and then it gets funneled down into the brain and the body and the experience of emotion. And I want to talk about emotions here in a minute too. But one of the things is that integration, you know, where the human species is growing. The body is very dense, so the higher concepts, the ability to retain them, integrate them, speak them, live them, slows things down. But then again, once you're not connected to a body, there's no time and space. So how fast or slow is it? I wouldn't even know, because it just isn't. That's not a thing.
You said you wanted to talk about emotions. Does that have to do with the growth of the soul? I know we don't feel emotions in the same way when we don't have a body. What do you have to say about
emotions? Well, I love emotions. I loved emotions. Well, I spent a lot of time on emotions when I was alive and when I was working with people. And we talked a lot about emotions, and that was pretty new, you know. Not too long ago, therapy was just not something you did, and coaching. Now coaching is the ultimate because it help, when you get a good coach, you get someone who helps you really dive in. But I would say I was kind of one of the first coaches back there when we would, but group coaching in a sense, we would sit around and we would all help someone dive in. We have a lot of community. I think community is really important. I still believe that's very important. But we would help people dive into their emotions. And if something was going on, we would come together almost like in a meeting. And it was similar to group coaching, group therapy. We would talk about this and we would help them explore all the layers. Another reason why I like Sheila's teachings, she's all about that too. But there's something about that that at the time was really important, and everyone needs to do that. You do have to deal with your emotions, and you do have to face them and explore them and be okay with them. We do a lot of that work. But now I see, and I like the teachings of her too, some people are just starting out and they still have to do that. Like, you can't get around it. not that you have to do it at the level. You don't have to get stuck in there. You have to be willing to experience it as it comes up. But you can also move beyond it I'm trying to find words. We always used energy healing to help with it too, which everyone should some way or another, whatever you want to call it. Why would you struggle and not use energy to help? But at some point, we have to move our attention away from the delving in and let go of it and sort of move beyond that. Like, have you ever been in a relationship, a friendship, any type of relationship where you spend most of your time talking about the relationship and how you made each other feel and how you're going to do better for each other and how this and how that? That's an important form of a relationship when you're growing, but it can get old. At some point, you want to move beyond talking about that and just be in it. It's the same type of thing. Am I making sense here? Because I do tend to ramble.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've definitely had those relationships before, and I think they are good to grow with because we need to, as humans do, dissect consciousness and all of those layers and all of the intricacies of how we affect each other.
Dissect. I love the dissect.
Right? How we affect each other on a holistic level. And there is, for me, and I'll just speak from my experience, I agree. I've had those relationships and I think emotions are really important. And Sheila likes to put it this way, you know, we can get addicted or stuck on the path of healing. And that's the point where we really need to just move on and be who we are going to be. But without the tools to know how to experience the emotion and move on and to experience the belief systems that we have and all these constructs that we come into relationships with, you know, there's tools or a point of view to have an experience, so you can actually move through those very quickly and then move on to the next paradigm of life. And in my understanding, you know, that's a partnership of creation and collaboration versus the dissecting and the feeling and the struggle and all of that kind of stuff. So I agree with my experience. I've personally had a few relationships that way where it's all about the exploration.
Yeah, so I think when you say that, I circle back and sort of answer your question more. You don't really have that once you let go of the body. And people talk about letting go of the ego so you can live like I live now. That doesn't really work, as you know, when you have a body. Your goal in a body is to bring this energy in and expand the body experience, the physical world experience. When you don't have a body, you don't have that plot, so to say. So they're just two different apples and oranges, really. But then we keep picking more bodies because we like it. And so,
So let me ask you this. Have you... I know this, so I'm asking you a 3D question. I know the answer is a big spectrum of experience, but so after you passed on from this lifetime, did you just realize your need to be a guide to other people or the people that you are already onto? Is your experience or your attention span just on being a guide? Have you incarnated again? Have you moved on to a different dimension or incarnated on another planet? I'm sure the answer is yes to all of those, but where do you put most of your attention now that you're on that side?
Well, you're right. That's a human question that can't be really answered, but I'm here in a human body now, so I can try to answer that. So if we talk in the best way that we can think of right now, I think is that vortex of energy that Sheila talks about. So, or a spectrum of energy. So I've let go of time and space for the most part, though I can move. I couldn't be here right now if I didn't bring my attention. So this is me bringing my attention into the cells of the body right now. I just don't happen to have, you know, a unique separate identity cell. I'm losing hers. And then there's the rest of me that always was. So a huge, as soon as I want to be in just sitting in the oneness, that's what I am. When I want to be in just divine love, I'm there. And all these other dimensions I can shift my attention to and be all at once. Now, that's another thing she keeps teaching, is to be able to place your attention on multiple energies at the same time, which is quite a feat for a human, not so much when you don't have the human body. So we're beyond timelessness. We're beyond time. We it's not difficult. And that's so hard to conceive when you're in a body, but it's not difficult to have your attention in all of these things at once. So having said that, I still like to spend some time and attention in the energy that is identified as Steve. I think he was a cool being and I like being him still. And I still have so many people that love me and I still love the earth so much. And I like working with people like Sheila who want to evolve the earth. I'm still very connected and passionate about this planet and humanity. As crazy as humanity is, it's brilliant. And so I continue to show up in different ways. There's I want to say there's a group of us, a large group of us, who like to put our attention in this frequency. But then again, it's all of us. So that's an earthly expression to say there's a group of us. It's just there's a intense energy that is coming down, because there's all part of the whole process. We're all one being. You in the consciousness of human, you're raising your consciousness. We're working. Those souls, those energy imprints that are dedicated to this, that are not in bodies, are coming down into situations like that, becoming more, we're merging these energies. That's the ultimate. And so I spend a lot of my untime doing this and having fun, reminding people to have fun. I like the little ones growing up too. I like being with the little ones, and I like showing up to people that, you know, I think it's funny. You talked about when the person said that she had a guide named Steve. I like being a guide named Steve, you know, like I just think that's funny.
I thought it was pretty humorous too when I found out. So can you go back to the Steve that had a body and influence him at all in that timelessness? And kind of, I don't know, I would imagine if that was me, I would have fun with it. I know sometimes things are serious, but can you ever influence it in a comical way?
I think we are, and we did, and so from the Steve that was there, it would have been in the past, of course, but it never was. So when I was Steve on Earth, I was channeling me as I am now, but I didn't know, and all of that energy and playing was definitely part of my joy. I like to dance. I like to goof around. I mean. Yeah.
So we have quite an endeavor here on planet Earth, where we are, as you just mentioned, we, as the human being side of things, are bringing down, I'll use this word, soul, the soul's experience, into a conscious, awakened state versus the limited state. And so we're bringing that down, and integration is a big deal these days, more so than ever. We just have zillions of pieces of information flying at us all the time. And that's not even the information we're going to look for either, right? To be able to accomplish a job or do something or learn something. There's just tons of information, and we're getting a point now in humanity where human beings are not going to be able to transmute information person to person before that information has actually changed. So that's going to be quite, I mean, we have computers to help us out with these things, but as far as being a human being and having, being surrounded by this web of information in life that's mostly in real time, what information would you give to humanity right now about being able to integrate this chaos that we're going through?
You're right, it is the most important thing, and one of the things that I taught and think I continue to think is most important is that inner knowing, telepathic communication. I used to practice that with, you know, some people thought they didn't think I was a jerk, but I kind of was a jerk in some ways. I would not give people information and talk to them telepathically and make them figure it out. And it's an important piece. Again, people think it's something unusual. I think that technology is getting people closer. Now more conversations are actually in our head. When you have a conversation on text or in email, that whole conversation is actually happening in your head. So that's coming closer to the frequency. It's getting people used to what it is to hold a full conversation, to hear the other person in your head, even though they're not. That is actually could be a teaching tool for telepathy, but it's true. And I don't think that this if is a possibility, but if humanity doesn't integrate, doesn't take this vastness of energy that's coming and use it as a tool to know themselves more, then it's pointless, because it has to move beyond the exterior and into the interior.
So you said practicing telepathy is a key to integration, and you said knowing is a key to integration. Is there any other aspects?
Well, I said emotion.
Emotion, okay.
Knowing and being comfortable with it. Certainly, moving beyond knowing your individual self, but moving beyond yourself is also very important. But once you get those tools, then and maybe letting go of your, you know, I guess let's sum this up, because we do need to come to a close, because you and I could talk all day, but I can feel Sheila getting tired here.
All right.
So we need to respect that. But let's just say I lost my train of thought.
We're talking about integration and emotions.
Integration and, the other piece is letting dead people grow. Letting dead people grow is an important piece, because it's also letting yourself grow. It's the same thing, you know. Have you grown up and you change and you learn all these new concepts, you're really loving who you are, and then you go home for the holidays and everybody treats you like they treated you when you were 13 and emotional or whatever those limits are, and they just make an assumption of who you are. And no matter what you do to live differently, you end up falling into those patterns and you can't prove that you're different. The same thing happens when people die. So whether it's a person who's alive, letting people grow and be different, when they're dead, letting people grow, you have to let yourself grow, but you also have to let the people around you be new and different in every moment, because if not, everybody's stuck.
Mm.
Everybody's stuck.
Excellent. Steve, thank you for your time today.
It's been a pleasure being in time with you. And thank you, Sheila. Thank you, Zach. I will come again. You know, I like to talk. I'll come whenever you want, but it's been fun. And good luck with this venue. I think it's important.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve. I'll just give Sheila a minute here to get readjusted. I know the energy in the room is quite high, and it's fun.
Hi, thanks, Steve. Hi. And I'm back as Sheila, fully in my attention as Sheila. All right.
So what do you think about Steve and that interesting experience?
You know, it was a lot of fun. I have to tell him, I want to thank him for finally ending, because I was getting exhausted quite a while before that, and you two just kept going. But that's fine. It was fun. It was a good conversation. As the vessel, I noticed a difference with this episode versus the one with Ben Franklin that I didn't know as well. I think that it'll be interesting as we move forward to see there's relationships that go. There was a familiarity. I noticed him being much more comfortable referring to me and putting his two cents in about me, and me being much more comfortable with that too. Last time when Ben spoke of, I think he referenced me a couple times, and I remember him feeling awkward. I remember myself feeling a little awkward. You know, it was kind of like a first kiss or something. I don't know, like you're getting to know each other. This was much more comfortable, and I really did enjoy that. I enjoy Steve and the words, and but I'm open to all of the experiences.
Yeah, it was cool to talk to him about you know, how we can grow after we die.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's a very important thing to integrate into our experience, that, you know, we truly are in a life that never ends.
Yeah, and I do remember, you know, speaking in general terms, having given readings to people that wanted to communicate with Steve specifically, but it happens with everyone. But as I was just so connected to him, I remember... I do remember some of his frustration of understanding new things and then listening, you know, and trying to guide people to realize that we have new things. And so I think that's one of the most common things we do. You hear people say, "Oh, I wish I had had time to say I'm sorry." And it's like, well, just say you're sorry. First of all, they don't care anymore. But sometimes people get so stagnated by the... Death is such an important thing for us to explore.
Oh, absolutely.
And to, if we, when we remember that the people continue to grow as souls, so just like I don't want to be held to something that I said when I was 13. Some things I said were brilliant at 13 and some things were not so much.
That was
all
claim. The rest I'll get rid of.
Right. And so I think giving dead people that freedom too, and learning to grow with them and continue communication with them, I think I agree with his point. Well, no, I know I agree with his point. I think that if we could adjust our relationship with death, the whole world would change. Not just as individual, but I think everything from war to economics, I think everything would be religion. I think everything would be different.
For sure. I've done a lot of meditating, contemplating, thinking. I thought a lot about death in my life, and it has a lot to do with philosophy, being in martial arts, and kind of romanticizing about the samurai and swordsmanship and all this kind of stuff, and being a soldier and a warrior and being in the infantry and the United States Army and all this kind of stuff. Death is very present, and I just think it is a very important concept to understand, but not only to understand, more importantly, I always talk about quality of life, because we're only here for a moment, whatever that may be, right? Those scenes are going to change, and then they're just going to carry on. But to... The importance of, even if you don't believe that the person is going to grow or to die, you know, that it's dead, if you need to forgive somebody, the forgiveness is about you, right, as a person, so you can grow, right? So it doesn't matter if it's make-believe or if you're doing a practice where you're putting an intention in a balloon and letting it up in the air to forgive somebody. Like, your experience of life is only going to get better if you integrate and practice these things in your own life and have that experience. When you do that for selfish reasons, everybody gets to grow, right? It's just kind of got that effect, so.
Yeah, I like, and as you were saying that, I started thinking about, you know, I love Ricky Gervais, and he is a very outspoken atheist, but he does such spiritual movies because, you know, you can, because consciousness is consciousness. But I think it's Ghost Town. I'm not sure I'm getting the title right, but that's one where the person dies and he thinks he's got to solve his problems to set himself free, you know, the dead, the ghost. But it's really the kind of moral is that it's for the people who are alive.
Right.
That needed to needed the time to adjust and transition. And I think that's true. Once somebody dies, I've done a lot of readings over the years, and so I've seen a lot of dead people in a lot of different situations, but most people, no matter how they died, no matter what the circumstances, it's over. You know, I spoke about the one murder earlier. She was not talking about finding her killer. She came in for a totally different reason when she came to me. I had a detective come to me for cases that she was a retired detective that just couldn't let go of some cases that weren't solved and wanted to find out about them. And the people were very happy to be called upon, but really didn't care about the murder. They just wanted to help everyone move on and grow. And, I think remembering that, whether you believe or don't believe that there's something after life, the consciousness continues. Consciousness is outside of, is more than our physical selves. We can't deny that. It happens. You see it. It's an entity, a being, an energy. So let that grow, whatever that means, whether it's in your mind or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do you have, or is there anything in the works as far as helping people letting the dead grow?
Thank you for that setup, Zach. well, of course, I've spent my whole adult life helping people grow in this area, but I am looking at creating in the very near future a course to help people continue to grow with their relationships after people die. I think I would agree with what Steve said. I think Steve said it, not me, but when I came out. But I would agree that that's one of the most important things, that we need to naturalize and normalize the and thin the veil of death. We need to just allow our love to continue growing. Love goes beyond death. And so I want to help people normalize that so that death isn't so hard, because it really isn't a separation in the way that we think of it in this world. Mm-hmm. And that separation causes so much pain. So I just want to do, you know, a mini course on simple things to let your relationships grow after death.
And there has been, you know, it's been a very chaotic time, we'll say. There's a lot of death happening around us, we're known about. I've had people in my experience lose multiple people in the same week, you know, those kind of things. And like, this is a very sensitive topic. And there has been some requests for this, right? And that's why.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So I mean, people are really seeking that right now.
Right. The good thing is it's normalized enough now that people realize they can do this, and now I can teach them how.
Right. And you said the very near future. Is that 2017, 2018, summer, fall, winter? Do you have any idea?
When I get an idea, and I actually, this one's been percolating behind the scenes, but once it comes to the forefront, I tend to jump in. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's next week. I'm trying to hold off and do this in a little organized way.
Soon.
So August, yeah. September, probably coming up soon. But mark your calendars. Let Spirit tell you. Ask your dead friends when.
See if you can get that right. Practice your telepathy. All right, Sheila, thank you very much.
Thank you, Zach. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, thank you, Steve, and everybody else on the Spiritual Verizon Network. Can you hear me now? Yes, we can. All right.
All right. Oh, and Verizon just got two dips.
Thanks. All right. Enjoy. We'll talk to you guys next time.